you know the rest of the story, unfortunately. So have you ever asked yourself the question, what was God up to when he created Adam and Eve? When he created us, for as far as that goes. What was his goal? What was his heart? What was he doing? Why did he create them? Why did he create us? I believe the reason he did it is he wanted to give. He wanted to share himself with us. He wanted to share who the triune God is with us so that we could enjoy what he had enjoyed, what they had enjoyed for eternity. See, we know that God is limitless. We know that God is eternal. And I think we also understand that the triune God is extremely relational. Extremely relational. Timothy Keller says this, from all of eternity, God has been a community of persons. See, do you think of God in that sense? A community of persons, delighting in each other, loving each other, and communicating with each other. You want a definition of relationship, of community, of friendship, of family? Delighting in each other, loving each other, and communicating with each other. See, that's what makes Christianity unique, more so than any other religion. Relationship is right up front. It's right there in your face. It starts with relationship. It goes through relationship, and it ends with relationship, not that it ever ends. See, the idea of a relational, limitless Godhead that lives in community and enjoys it and desires that their followers walk in the same thing, that walks in this reckless love, as that song saying, that walks in this personal relationship, that walks in all this stuff, you know, even the stuff that Timothy Keller was talking about, that where we delight each other, where we love each other, where we communicate with each other. It's only a priority in Christianity. It's not about works. It's about receiving, which we can enjoy because God is love. The noun, as Christians shared last week. David Matthew, in his book, Church Adrift, if you can still find this book, it was a book that was published in the early 80s. I think it was the early 80s. God's great purpose is simply to have a family. And I like this next phrase, a very large one. He's looking for sons and daughters who will love, the verb, him, and obey him gladly and freely. See, all those commands out there that we're called to obey, he wants us to do it gladly and freely. And we can when we love, because we want to do it. See, that's the whole thing. That's been my premise from day one. I don't want to build a church to where we have to do things. I want to build a church where we rest before God and we receive his grace, his mercy, his love, his person, his communication, his relationships, his community, his family. And I believe that out of that, then each person will be released into all that God has called them to be. And God will form this amazing body that will show forth the power of God. And it's not based upon numbers. It's based upon an understanding of who God is and what he's doing. Okay? Rest assured, a God-ordained family will occur. And it will occur for two very large reasons. Even though Satan is fighting tooth and nail, he is out to wreck the church. But guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail. Okay? And it's going to not only survive, it's going to bear fruit, it's going to be successful. It was Elijah, right? I think it was Elijah was leaning against the tree. And the angel came to him, "What's your problem, dude?" "Okay, that's my version. I'm all alone. It's just me and you, God." Now, I know it doesn't say that like that. And he goes, "Wrong, dude. There's 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal." It was Elijah, wasn't it? Come on, you Bible scholars. Okay. We're never alone. He's going to have the family. Like I said, Satan's going to fight it tooth and nail. But first, it's going to happen because the fatherhood, capital F, the fatherhood, which is a must for family, starts with God and not man. Thank you, Jesus. See, so much of what goes on in life starts with man and not with God. And it's doomed to failure. What's it say? The wisdom of man is folly before God. Ephesians 3:14-15, that's what it says. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. I really like this version. I just found it not too long ago. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Every family. Let's see, how many is that? Well, I guess that's all of them. Human fathers and families are subsets of God the Father and His family. We're not the ones in charge. We're not the HHICOEs, head honchos in charge of everything. He is. And we must always be submitted to Father God and His love, recognizing Him as a love noun and how to love verb. And as we do, I guarantee, I promise, I will write it on a piece of paper that relationships, that family, community, godly family, godly relationships, godly community will occur and will be built. Because Father God is the author of relationship. I mean, you can see it in every living creature. Look at an amoeba. Look at ants. Look at birds. Look at bees. Birds and the bees. Look at whales. Look at bears. Look at elephants. They are all families. They may be pods. They may be flocks. They may be schools. They may this be this or that or the other. But throughout creation, you see this. For the most part, yeah, there's some asexual things like a planetarium. But all are living to some degree or another in a God-ordained relationship. There's that commonality throughout that God established, putting His creation together, designed after Him. And we miss it. I know, I'm sorry. It all just kind of came from a big bang, right? And just kind of... Forgive me, I don't have that much faith. I really don't have that much faith. But including man. Because that's God's design. That's His heart. That's what He wants. Truly, no man or no woman was ever created to be an island. Isolated from others. Yet Satan, if he's going to attack people, and who here has never been attacked by Satan? Can you raise your hand? If he's going to attack you, I guarantee he'll attack you in this place. He will try to divide you from other believers. The second largest reason family will occur is the cross. Because Jesus wants a family, even though everybody's scattered, as it says, before He went to the cross. But after the resurrection, again, what's your name again? As Terry shared 2 weeks ago, the evidence became more and more overwhelming because Jesus wanted the family, and that's what He did. And He created us to want godly relationships. And when we're born again, that's part of what is put within us. I really believe that. Look around. The evidence is overwhelming. And I mean, think about it. Do you know anybody that their deepest desire of the human heart is not relationship? I mean, I saw it all through the 60s. Love, not war. And every generation since then, there's this constant seeking of self-satisfaction, all designed to receive love in some way or another. But unfortunately, it's all too often in a wrong way. It's secular love. It's not agape. It's all counterfeits of the love that God has for us. It's Satan's substitution. See, that's one reason God was so willing to give us a new heart that he talks about in Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So we can walk in the only true love that there really is. I saw this on, I think it was, saw it otherwise, but I think it was on God's Not Dead, number 3. Whatever the subtitle was, I can't remember. Where the pastor says, he's being interviewed by a journalist and asks him, please define love. And he says, love is a person. That's what love is. Love is a person. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Again, raise your hand. Who here does not want to be loved? I think we're all born with that innate desire to be loved. And when we're born again, we get this innate desire to seek godly love. Unfortunately, through abuse, through hurts, through sufferings, through wrongdoings, we tend to shut that desire down. I knew a woman once who was so mistreated that you could think of any way that you could mistreat a woman growing up through her teen years, and she was by her father, including being chained to trees outside overnight. And she was totally shut down. I mean, she took and she slammed that door shut. She locked it. She padlocked it. She put a combination lock on it. She nailed it around the edges. And it was so sad. We have this ability to project our experience with our natural fathers onto our spiritual father. And it's a trap. See, even psychologists, even sociologists overwhelmingly agree that we, to be fulfilled as a people, must give and receive love. We have to be in relationship. We have to be in community. We have to be part of a family. Again, as Christian explained last week, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We love because he so loved us that he provided an alternative to hell, giving us a choice to pursue his desire of a family instead. And it, not only an eternal family, but a family here on earth. And we were to do the same, to love, verb, while showing forth love, noun, God. 1 John 4:21, and we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. See, there's a fruit that when we do love, when we are loved, that was never given to us to just package into a nice little package, put it in our heart someplace or put it someplace, and kind of keep it for ourselves so that we're overjoyed and happy for the rest of our life. No, it's so that it flows through us. For brothers and sisters, that can be easy on most days. Notice I said most. But to our enemies, remember what I said about following his commands? With joy, desire. But as we do, relationships will be built and they will grow, often through forgiveness and repentance. But we can choose to live a different life. One where we grow in independence while tempering our enthusiasm for God-ordained relationships. One that can lead, I believe, to a life of pain and misery. That is not God's plan. It's not even close. See, we're made in the image of God. And God is plural. God is about commitment. God is about communication. It's about enjoying each other. God is not just a me, he's an us, a triune God. Let me say something very clearly, and then I'll write it down like I feel I received it. I believe that one will never walk in all the joy, peace, love, relationship, community, family, everything God has for us if we walk independently. I believe that with all my heart. And I've seen it demonstrated over and over and over in my life. I thank God for the Aarons and hers that are constantly holding up my arms. And I'm not talking about as a pastor. I'm talking about as a member of the body of Christ. I'm talking about as a brother to a brother or a brother to a sister, as a husband, as a son. But I understand that we have the ability to open ourselves to demonic attacks and the false doctrine. See, I think that's why God created the church. I think that's why God loves the church and tells us to be active in participating in it, to serving, edifying, strengthening, building up, encouraging one another, loving each other, walking with each other, being in community with each other, which requires us to gather together as commanded. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, again, another Christian Standard Bible. And let us watch out for one another. Ooh. To provoke love and good works. We're to encourage each other to do that. Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We are to watch out for each other. We're to have each other's back. We're to provoke love and good works in each other, to encourage each other into good works, to encourage each other to love. And we do that by not neglecting gathering together, by doing that in fellowship. I just want to say something to reiterate what Terry said. It's one of the things that's really cool about Tuesday nights, is Bible study. And it's not dependent upon you being there the previous Tuesday. We're Chapter 5, I think, of Matthew at this point. And it's a discussion. That's all it is a discussion. You know, Christian or Michelle, one of the two, will kind of throw some things out there to get it going, but it's a discussion. It's not a teaching. And it's really cool. But all the more as you see the day approaching for our safety and protection. It's about relationship. It's about community. It's about family. Timothy Keller again says this in one of his books. God refers to his plurality as he makes us become... No, this is from one of his teachings. God refers to his plurality as he makes us because he made us for community. He made us in the image of a community. He made us in the image of a me who is also in us. Therefore, you and I cannot be our true selves. We cannot get in touch with our humanity. And there will always be something wrong with us if we are only a me. We also have to be an us. Personal relationship, therefore, is the meaning of life. Personal relationship is the essence of our humanity. Personal relationships are what we were built for. And then it occurs in the church, which God has created. God wants us in personal relationships. Permanent relationships, godly, biblical relationships, community, family relationships. But again, if you've had your heart torn out, you may run at the mere thought. There's been times in my life where I have, where I've said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with relationships." Fortunately, God only let me go so far and didn't turn his back upon me. But even so, That doesn't mean community relationships and family goes away. You ever hear somebody say, it's okay if I go to hell because my friends will be there? I've said that. I repented for that after I became a Christian. I remember sitting in bars with three or four friends, and we'd laugh at Christians, and we'd sit there and go, yeah, we may be in hell, but we're going to have a good time. What a lie. What deception. But what they're saying is, we know, wrongfully they're saying this, we know we will have eternal relationship. It was important to them. It was important to me at the time. See, that idea is within us because we were created that way. That cry for relationship is in all of us. Just like I don't believe there's such a thing as an atheist. You ever been at the deathbed side of an atheist? He's used in the name of God. He may be crying out for help, or he may be cursing him, but he's in full understanding that there is a God, which kind of takes away the definition of an atheist. There's a cry of relationship in all of us. Look around. Look at art. Look at literature. Listen to music. Listen to all genres, whether it's rock or bluegrass or country or blues or rap or whatever. It's all crying for relationship. Yeah, I know there's some country songs that cry out for a relationship with a dog in their pickup, but they're still crying out for relationships. At least Christian music encourages godly relationships. You know, and Jesus, as Terry explained a couple of weeks ago, set the relationship not only at the cross and the resurrection, but after the resurrection. Do you remember Terry's 3 points? Terry, do you remember? No, I'm just kidding. Jesus was dealing with unbelief. I went back to the tape, so I know these are true. Jesus pointed them to the importance of the Word of God, and Jesus was getting them to the Great Commission. Now, all of these, Jesus was dealing with unbelief. Jesus pointed them to the importance of the Word of God. Jesus was getting them to the Great Commission. All of these, plus the point that Christian made the following week when he was talking about love, in one way or another, are all pointing to God's ordained relationships, family, community, which Satan, again, is fighting very hard against, constantly throwing unbelief in our faces, reminding us of our hearts, abuses, pain, sufferings, whatever, broken relationships. But the whole purpose is to project those things upon God the Father. And I encourage you that if there are broken relationships or whatever pain, abuse that's keeping you from going in all God has for you, go after God. And if you need help, there's people here that will pray with you, that will minister to you and help you to get over those mountains that look insurmountable, but they're not. Because nothing's insurmountable with God. All we have to do is, by faith, just throw it into the ocean. See, we need to be about pursuing God and not what Satan wants to do. Because Satan wants to project those pain, those abuses, onto the Father. Well, he's just like your father. I mean, first 10 years of being a Christian, I figured God saved me and he was at the Great Bermuda in the sky or someplace because that's what my father did. He brought me into this world and he made a choice because I had a mentally retarded half-brother that I just didn't receive the nurturing that a normal father is supposed to give a son. So I fully expected that's who God was until my born-again day, as I call it. When God wiped that out. Satan wants to keep us from relationship and community. He wants to keep us from family. He wants us to keep from God and with each other. The Word of God speaks over and over of relationship and community. It also tells us to seek first the kingdom, which is full of relationships. It comes back to love, which even fulfills the law. Reading out of Romans 13, 8 to 10 in the New International Version. Let no doubt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever else, whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in the one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. And listen to this. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. We are to work to get out of every debt. If you don't believe me, take a Dave Ramsey course. You'll drill it in your head. Used to be 13. Does anybody go to Dave Ramsey course here recently? I'm on rabbit trail. It's less number of lessons now, isn't it? Is it nine now? Okay. Rabbit trail, forgive me out there. But we are to work to get out of every debt, except what? The debt of loving one another. I owe it to each one of you to love you. You owe it to me to love me. I didn't write the book, guys. If you have a problem with having a debt of loving me, take it up with God. And if I have a problem with loving you as a debt, I'll take it up with God. Okay? And we've all had those problems, haven't we? Where you may not have heard the audible voice of God where he says, go love Robert. But you knew you were supposed to, and that was the last thing you wanted to do. Why? I don't know. Because he's the most lovable thing there is on earth. He's like a little teddy bear. I mean, what else? Why else would he be the chief cook and bottle washer of fellowship? Because he wants to make everybody fat here. So that when we fast for 40 days, we won't die. Well, I forgot to tell you about that. I'll bring that up later. We are to work to get out of every debt. But we are not to work to get out of the debt of love. If the worship team wants to come back up. We have that debt to our God. Even as Christian more or less explained last week. As we walk in that debt, we fulfill the law. It's a powerful statement. We fulfill the law. We fulfill God's great desire. And that is to have relationships, to have community, to have family. That's God's heart. You want a great witness? Love people. Love your enemies. It may make them mad at first, but eventually. Because it's about relationship, it's about community, it's about family. Everybody wants to have relationships where people have their back. Where at the littlest thing, they don't run. What have I said here? Stick around, I'll hurt you. I'll do something wrong, I promise you. It's not that I want to do that. It's not that I'm bragging. But the last I checked, I'm a fallible human being that has a particular call in my life. Trust me, the last thing I want to do is hurt anybody. And I know the last thing any of you want to do is hurt anybody, but if we overcome those things, we'll have community. We'll have family. We'll have relationship. The blood that flows through us is thick, folks. It's the blood of Jesus. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's why we pray for each other. That's why we do the things we do. That's God's heart. And it's all by walking in love, the verb, shining forth love, the noun, which we are called, even commanded to pursue. And we can do it because we have a new heart. Amen. I just want to read something else that I believe God gave me during the worship. He says, tell my people, I want relationship, I want a family, I want a community. First with me, but not just with me, but with my Son and my Holy Spirit. But that's not all. I also want that community, that family relationship with each other. That is and will be the strength of this fellowship. This is by my design. Relationship with us and with each other making a strong family. That's our draw, folks. That's our hope. That's what God has for us. Family. Relationship. Amen?